The announcement has been made and heard. The world is with child.
Abraham was, Jesus said, I am. Who can say what he meant? Perhaps that just as his death was not the end of him, so his birth was not the beginning of him. Whatever it is that history has come to see in him over the centuries, seen or unseen, it was there from the start of history, he seems to be saying, and even before the start. Before Abraham was, before any king rose up in Israel, or any prophet to bedevil him, before any patriarch or priest, temple or Torah, something of Jesus existed no less truly for having no name yet or face, something holy and hidden, something implicit as sound is implicit in silence, as the fall of Rome is implicit in the first atom sent spinning through space at the creation. And more than that, Jesus does not say that before Abraham was, he was, but before Abraham was, he is. No past, no future, but only the present. Because only the present is real, named or unnamed, known or unknown. There neither has been nor ever will be a real time without him. If he is the savior of the world, as his followers believe, there never has been nor ever will be a world without salvation. But even for the timeless, to enter time is to divide it into before and after, then and now, just as to enter space is to divide it into here and there, me and you. Whatever the story of Jesus may be to the high angels, to us, it must, like any other story, involve a beginning. The place where his story begins is someplace. The time when it begins is sometime. The person it begins with is a girl.
Please join us in the responsive litany for Advent. O wisdom, coming forth from the mouth of the Most High, pervading and permeating all creation, you order all things with strength and gentleness. Come now and teach us the way to salvation. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Adonai, ruler of the house of Israel, you appeared in the burning bush to Moses and gave him the law on Sinai. Come with outstretched arm to save us.
Come, Lord Jesus.
O root of Jesse, rising as a sign for all the peoples, before you earthly rulers will keep silent and nations give you honor. Come quickly to deliver us.
Come, Lord Jesus.
O key of David, scepter over the house of Israel, you open and no one can close. You close, and no one can open. Come to set free the prisoners who live in darkness and the shadow of death.
Come, Lord Jesus.
O radiant dawn, splendor of eternal light, Son of justice, come, shine on those who live in darkness and in the shadow of death.
Come, Lord Jesus.
O ruler of the nations, monarch for whom the people long, you are the cornerstone uniting all humanity. Come, save us all whom you formed out of clay.
Come, Lord Jesus.
O Emmanuel, our sovereign and lawgiver, desire of the nations and savior of all, come and save us, O Lord, our God.
Come, Lord.
Thank you. A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by the Saint Bonaventure. Almighty God called to him the angel Gabriel and said to him, "Go to our best beloved daughter, espoused to Joseph, the dearest to us of all our creatures, and tell her that my son delights in her form and hath chosen her for his mother. Request her to receive him joyfully, for I have decreed to save mankind by her means and to blot out of my memory the injury they have done me." Gabriel, with serene and cheerful aspect, prostrate on his knees in a devout and reverent posture, listens attentively to the divine embassy. That received, away the angelic messenger hastens from the celestial regions, and in the borrowed dress of human likeness, quick as thought, presents himself before the Holy Virgin Mary in the inmost recess of her little habitation. Thus the faithful proxy began his message. "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." But to speak in the words of Luke the evangelist, she was disturbed at the angel's speech. That is, perplexed, in thought at the novelty of this salutation. Nor could the humble virgin be other than disturbed at the triple commendation included in his angelic salutation. To hear herself commended for that she was full of grace, that the Lord was with her, that herself was blessed above the rest of her sex, was more than one so rich in humility could hear without a blush of concern. Her discomposure then was wholly the effect of a virtuous and becoming bashfulness, accompanied with a fear of too easily giving in to the belief of what she heard. Not that she in the least mistrusted the angel's veracity, but because it is ever the faculty of the truly humble to tend to perfection by examining into and magnifying their defects, while they either remain wholly insensible of any merit in themselves or see it through the lessening end of the perspective. Thus, as becomes a prudent, fearful, and modest virgin, our Blessed Lady remained silent, returning no answer to the angelic salutation, as if not knowing what to reply. With what wisdom and attention does the angel employ his heavenly eloquence to persuade her? And with what sweetness, reverence, and affability he bends before her as his awful mistress, faithfully executing his embassy and attentively observing her words, that he may reply to them in a manner becoming her dignity, his office, and the will of the Almighty.
Thank you. Thank you, Kay. And thank you, Bonnie. And thank you to everyone who's put this marvelous service together for us. I was forewarned that the ladies in the choir were not getting up to leave right before my meditation. I appreciate that warning. John Bell from the Iona community is quite a wonderful person and also quite a wonderful character. I had the pleasure of meeting John and spending time a whole afternoon with John Bell of the Iona community in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, at which time he said in his wonderful Scottish brogue that we are known by our Iona music, and we're not going to be doing the Iona music. We're going to be talking liturgy today. No music at all. We're not going to be doing Iona songs. But then, you know, every song has a story, and every story has words, and every song has a story about the song. And so we spent the next 2 hours doing Iona songs, which was all part and parcel of God's word speaking to our hearts on a very deep level. But he was absolutely correct, is that every song, every anthem does tell a story, but there also is a story that is told about every anthem and every hymn and every carol. And I love reading some of those stories. And for this meditation, this is a story about the song that tells a story. There was this little boy, and this little boy from the youngest age, from the get-go, was an utterly unique personality, and he was busy. He was always on the move. Never stopped moving, this little boy. And singing. He was also singing almost even before he was talking. He was singing and singing and singing and talking and moving. From the youngest age, this boy had the lead singing at church events and also in the community and in community productions and community theater. He got a lot of attention for his uniqueness and for his singing and for his moving. He got a lot of attention from his teachers as well because of his moving. His energy became a real problem for his teachers. He was diagnosed as being hyperactive, and he had some medication that helped him to be able to slow down a little bit enough to learn. But one observer who knew him his whole life referred to this little boy as a raccoon in human form. So that's a pretty good description. And yet, this little boy, for all the movement, was totally non-athletic. And so he became known to people as an out-of-control tornado klutz. To be honest, sometimes children such as this little boy who stand out so greatly, just because they stand out, are managed so that they do not stand out. And there's something that's lost of their uniqueness in that. But fortunately, or rather not fortune, but rather being in tune with God's plans and God's desires, the parents of this boy just took another tack, because they told their young man that they truly believed God had a very special plan for his life. And then they proceeded to place him on any and every stage that would take him. And he sang, and he moved, and he was energized, and people could not get enough of his joy and his energy or his humor or his singing, because he had a very unique and reflective sense of humor about life. This little, even as a young boy, he wound up getting a singing contract, and he performed, among many other things, he performed with the likes of the London Symphony Orchestra once. And eventually, as he grew older, he, as a band, was asked to join the Gaither Vocal Band, which is a famous Southern country gospel singing group. Well, during his journey into adulthood, this boy, now grown, was named Mark Lowry. And you're going to find that in your bulletin, the song that's coming up. And Mark Lowry began to wonder, perhaps and probably because of the faith and of the love and support and the expectation and faith of his own parents, he began to wonder to himself what Mary had thought about her unique and God-touched little baby. After all, angelic announcements of a birth do have the element of unique. But more, there was something about God, there was something of God in this child, something of incarnation, of enfleshing of the divine. And the line that came to Mark Lowry was, "When you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God." It came to his mind, it came to his heart and his faith and to his imagination. This has to be a song. It has to be a song, he thought. And so he says he imagined himself as a newspaper reporter who was interviewing Mary. And from his questions to her and her faith and responses, he began penning a poem that he said sent chills up his spine. And later, when a talented musician and songwriter named Buddy Green joined the Gaither Band, Mark slipped a copy of the lyrics he had written to Buddy, and with his typical humor, he wrote above the lyrics, "Buddy, here are some God-inspired words. Please add some beautiful music and make it a profitable hit." Well, Buddy obviously did not get the joke because he took it with complete and due seriousness. And when the lyrics and the music came together, it produced a classic that was Southern gospel music's first gift of a Christmas carol to all the world. Mary, Did You Know? Mary, looking at her baby boy, Jesus, saw not a uniqueness to be hidden or suppressed or managed, but she saw an incarnation of the divine. She saw heaven coming down to earth in a child who embodied, who enfleshed the love of God, and whose love still lives in the hearts of all who believe, all whose hearts sing that divine song in daily love to humankind. We each have the same capacity of a Mary, the same capacity of Mark's parents, the same capacity of a loving God to see, to sense, to embrace the presence of the incarnation of divine love in our midst every day, in each other to be sure, and even sometimes if we're really honest and courageous and humble in our own selves. Because after all, aren't we each and every one also children of God? So this Advent, may heaven come down to live as well in us. And may the story that leads to a song also be a story that leads from the song to God's love. Amen.
Gabriel. She struck the angel Gabriel as hardly old enough to have a child at all, let alone this child. But he'd been entrusted with a message to give her, and he gave it. He told her what the child was to be named and who he was to be, and something about the mystery was to come upon her. "You mustn't be afraid, Mary," he said. As he said it, he only hoped she wouldn't notice that beneath the great golden wings, he himself was trembling with fear. To think that the whole future of creation hung now on the answer of a child. Oh, Mary, did you know your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Oh, Mary, did you know your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your baby, you've kissed the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? Oh, Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Oh, Mary, did you know your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This child that you are holding is the great I Am.
In a time of waiting, in the time of hoping, one of the bright and swift messengers of God went to a village called Nazareth, greeted and startled a young woman named Mary with a message of a new dawning. Swift over crag, scrambling over valley floor, bright with expectation, Mary, Miriam, went to a village in the hill country, greeted and startled her kinswoman named Elizabeth, whose child within her danced with knowing. And thus assured and thus filled, Mary sang, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Mary sang, "My spirit rejoices." Thus Mary sang forth the sun for the time of dawning. Let us pray. God of grace, you choose the Virgin Mary, full of grace, to be the mother of our Lord and Savior. Now fill us with your grace, that with her we may rejoice in your salvation, and in all things embrace your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
As the ancient prophecies foretold, it is a virgin who is to bear the Holy Child. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the angel announces, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. It is not old Joseph, but God who is the Father. Paul, Mark, Matthew, the earliest writers about Jesus, say nothing of a virgin birth. But by the time Luke wrote his gospel, it had come to seem that nothing less wonderful could account for the wonders he was gospeling. This extraordinary life could have had a beginning no less extraordinary. History creates heroes. Heredity is responsible for human greatness. Evil also evolves. Only holiness happens.
This little babe. At the heart of our faith lies a surprising paradox, power made perfect in weakness. The story of Jesus' birth plays that paradox for all it's worth, or at least it does if we can get past the domesticated depictions of the nativity so familiar from Christmas cards and Holly Hobby children's books. Far truer to the shocking subtext of Luke 2 is Frederick Buchner's description of what really happened out there in the barn that first Christmas Eve. Incarnation, Buchner reminds us, is not tame, but nothing less than ultimate mystery born with a skull you could crush one-handed. To say with the Gospel of John that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us is a radical claim. The one that caught and continues to catch this waiting world completely off guard. Power made perfect in weakness. Who could have predicted it? Perhaps the Old Testament prophets were the only ones with any inkling. Scattered throughout the book of Isaiah, for example, are passages that seem to anticipate this inexplicable habit of God's heart. Isaiah 9 refers to a child born for us. For with the unlikely names, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 53 drops hints about a suffering servant who had no form or majesty
that we should look at him, a man despised and rejected, as one from whom others hide their faces. Yet this same social pariah is the one who was wounded for our transgressions, by whose bruises we are healed. Whether one views these passages as pure prediction or as reflective of some now forgotten situation in an earlier century, they give us a glimpse of God's proclivity for this particular paradox. The Christmas story is a wonderful, mind-boggling paradox that should never cease to surprise us. Who would have thought it? Who could have guessed? But then, it is part of a larger story well stocked with surprises, which began with Gabriel's sudden appearance to Mary. Consider the source. Given the surprising habit of God's heart, perhaps we should not be so astonished after all to meet a Savior.
In the coming together is the power. The coming together of bread and wine. The coming together of water and word. The coming together of God and human. The very good of Genesis. God in relationship with human is a coming together. For newness appears. Newness is possible. When the two come together, male and female, come together and create new life. Left and right brain come together and ignite new thought. God and human come together and bring wholeness, health. Shalom.
And now, as you are able, let us rise and receive God's good word, God's benedictus to us as we go into the world and into God's future where God always is. On you, dear friends, the Advent candlelight of hope and of peace has shined. So keep that light in your hearts and in your spirits. Remember that even the smallest beam of light can illumine a pathway. Go in hope and let God's peace flow through you now and always in this Advent time and forever. Amen.